Radio Prague News.
Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek has said his government's program will be based on previous negotiations with the Christian Democrats, the Green Party and the Social Democrats. The party's deputy chairman Petr Nečas has said that if the new cabinet fails to receive confidence, another attempt at forming a cabinet should take place after the October Senate elections. And the Czech Republic has beaten Wales 2-1 in a Euro 2008 Group D qualifying match. Prime Minister-designate and Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek has said his government's program is to be based on the outcomes of previous negotiations of his party with the Christian Democrats and the Green Party, and also with the Social Democrats. Speaking in a televised debate on Sunday, Mr. Topolánek said the new cabinet's program copied that of the so-called three-party coalition, that is, a coalition of the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens, who tried to put together a cabinet after the June election but failed as the Social Democrats refused to tolerate such a government. Mr. Topolánek's cabinet will be appointed on Monday. In order to receive confidence in the lower house, Mr. Topolánek will need to gain the support of at least one opposition MP in the vote that is scheduled for October the 4th. Civic Democrat Deputy Chairman Petr Nečas has said that if the new cabinet of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek fails to receive confidence from the lower house, a fresh attempt at forming a new cabinet should take place after the Senate and municipal elections, which will be held in late October. Mr. Nečas said that an attempt to put together a new cabinet before the elections would be too risky for his party. Future members of the minority cabinet of the Civic Democratic Party have articulated their concrete ideas of what to do after they are appointed. For example, future Labour Minister Petr Nečas said that work on the pension reform must be started and changes should be implemented in the welfare system that would motivate people to actively seek employment. Future Local Development Minister Petr Gandalovic is planning to change the system of drawing money from EU funds. Mr. Gandalovic says the Czech Republic needs to speed up the drawing for the years 2004 to 2006, as there is a big delay in some financial programs and the country might have to return the money to Brussels. The Czech Republic beat Wales 2-1 in a Euro 2008 Group D qualifying match on Saturday. Substitute David Lafata scored twice on his international debut. The Czechs went 1-0 up when the 24-year-old Lafata headed in Libor Sionko's pass from close range in the 76th minute. In the 85th, Czech defender Martin Jiránek knocked a cross into his own net from close range for the Welsh equaliser, but Lafata scored his second 4 minutes later, also from close range after a pass from Sionko. The Czechs play away against Slovakia on Wednesday, while Wales are at home to the Slovaks on October the 7th. And finally, the weather. The next few days should be partly cloudy with occasional showers and daytime temperatures staying just above 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková. That's the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Linda Maštalíš. In today's program, we answer your letters in mailbox. Pavla Horáková has this week's letter from Prague, and that's all followed by Encore, which takes a look at the cunning little vixen. But first, it's time for mailbox.
Welcome to Mailbox. As usual, on the first Sunday of the month, we are going to reveal the answer to last month's competition question and announce the names of the four lucky winners. Although the summer months are a holiday time in much of the world, we appreciate that you did find the time to research and answer our question. The name of the Czech-born tennis, soccer and ice hockey player, born in 1895, who was this year inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame, is not Hanna Mandlíková nor Mathilde Octavi, as some of you suggested. Here's a brief answer from Catherine Krajina from Australia.
The fabulous all-rounder was Karel Koželuch.
And Howard Golden, who lives in Prague, elaborated on the topic some more.
In response to your question, in the class of 2006, the International Tennis Hall of Fame inducted Karel Koželuch, who was born in Prague on my birthday, only a few years earlier, on March 7, 1895. He was a soccer player who became a tennis pro and was the French pro singles champion from 1925 to 1930 and again in 1932. He was the European Pro Tour champion in 1932 and won the U.S. Pro Singles Championships three times. In 1925, he captured the world professional tennis title. This all according to the International Tennis Hall of Fame. He died on April 27, 1950, and was described as the Fred Astaire of the courts, with faultless ground strokes and a safecracker's touch at net.
And Paul R. Peacock listens to us in Brisbane, Australia.
At first, one may wonder why a Czech soccer and ice hockey player would be inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Well, this particular Czech sportsman was an all-round athlete, and in fact was also a top Czech tennis player. It was none other than Karel Koželuch.
After listing all Karel Koželuch's sporting achievements, Mr. Peacock concludes.
Unfortunately, he died in 1950, not of natural causes, but man-made. Outside Prague, he was killed in a motor accident. This year, 2006, he was inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame, a fitting honour for such a true champion and all-round athlete.
Zenon Teles from Goa, India, had this to add.
Koželuch, one of the world's best players in the 1920s and the 1930s, joined his younger Czech colleagues Jan Kodeš, Hanna Mandlíková, Jaroslav Drobný, Ivan Lendl, Martina Navrátilová and Jana Novotná.
Constantin Liviu Viorel listens to us in Romania.
Karel Koželuch began his career with rugby, and at the age of 16, he learned to play tennis. He was also a soccer and ice hockey player in the years 1920 to 1930. He played soccer for some Czech clubs like Sparta Praha, DFC Prague, Teplitzer FK, and also for the Austrian national team. He became a Czech citizen after the First World War and played also for the Czechoslovak national soccer team. In 1925, he won the European Championship with the Czechoslovakia ice hockey team. He died in a car accident near Prague in 1950.
Christine Takaguchi-Coates, who is originally from Britain but now follows Radio Prague in Japan, had this to say.
Karel Koželuch is the name of the Czech-born soccer, ice hockey and tennis player who has just become the seventh Czech to be inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame. The other six are more recent big names, Jan Kodeš, Hanna Mandlíková, Jaroslav Drobný, Ivan Lendl, Martina Navratilová and Jana Novotná. Just seeing these names brings back memories of many hours spent in front of the television watching Wimbledon on a summer day at home in the United Kingdom.
And Mrs. Takaguchi-Coates continues.
His younger brother, Jan Koželuch, is also a tennis player, and on at least one occasion, North Carolina, in April 1938, he played against and lost to his older brother in the final of a tennis tournament. In the same tournament, the two brothers were also runners-up in the doubles match. May I also take this opportunity to congratulate your Czech athletes on their performance at the European Athletic Championships in Gothenburg, Sweden.
And finally, Marcel Voračka from Illinois sent us this answer.
The name of the recent Hall of Fame inductee is Karel Koželuch. Keep up the great programming. I really enjoy your show. But I always have to make sure to turn down the radio before the sports on Monday, since they don't appreciate the loud yelling of goal at work. Well, you know.
And this month, the prizes go to Marcel Voračka and Stephen Price, both from the United States, Constantin Liviu-Viorel from Romania, and Howard Golden from the Czech Republic. Congratulations, and if your name wasn't drawn this time, why don't you try and answer our question for September? This month, we would like you to tell us the name of the world-famous physicist who was born in 1838 in what is now the Czech Republic's second city of Brno and has a unit named after him, which is used to define the speed of a moving object relative to the speed of sound. I apologize if the definition is not scientifically correct, but at least I hope it's understandable. Please send us your answers by the end of the month to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. There will be small prizes for four of you.
And just a reminder, you're tuned to Radio Prague, where it's now time for this week's Letter from Prague, written by Pavla Horáková.
On Monday, Czech school children will return to their classrooms after 2 months, among them some 93,000 first graders. In recent weeks, we've seen some serious back-to-school preparations. The contents of shop windows changed from swimsuits and inflated toys to school bags, pencils and the like. Also, reports on television have been showing how much all the school supplies are costing parents this year. It occurred to me only recently that September the 1st had gradually turned into a commercial opportunity. I noticed some years ago, during my summer visits to England, how important the return to school was commercially. Almost imperceptibly, that side of the occasion seems to have prevailed in this country too. With the gradual commercialization of most holidays and rites of passage in this country, the return to school has become just another feast for retailers. Ads in newspapers read, "Back to school with a new PC." In pharmacies, you can buy back-to-school dental kits for children. Buy school supplies worth 1,000 crowns and get 20 blank CDs for free, a sign in a shop window reads. It used to be so much different some 20 years ago. Retailers did not advertise because they did not have much to offer. The return to school seemed to be much less dramatic. You got a bag, a pencil case, a pair of slippers. Yes, Czechs do change shoes in school, and that was it. No cones filled with sweets, maybe just a little toy in the morning for the excited first graders. Basic school supplies were given out to children for free: watercolors, rulers, pencils, notepads, and so on. As a result of this generous policy, after the 8 years of primary school, everyone had ended up with drawers full of pencils and unused notebooks. I still have them somewhere. This year, the parents of 83% of first graders have received 1,000 crowns from the government towards school supplies, 82 million crowns in total. But as everything has become more expensive, some parents have complained it doesn't cover the needs. I guess that every generation has to put up with their own different types of nuisances. While a few decades ago it was tiresome and endless speeches about the importance of education for world peace and socialism, today it is having to face the pressure of commerce. In this case, frankly, I don't know which is worse.
And that was Letter from Prague, written this week by Pavla Horáková. And now it's time for Encore with David Vaughan and Patricia Goodson, who will be your hosts for the rest of today's show.
Welcome to Encore. I'm Patricia Goodson.
And I'm David Vaughan.
And you've been listening just now to an excerpt from Leos Janáček's opera, The Cunning Little Vixen.
And we're playing it on the suggestion of one of our listeners, Brian Kendall, who heard the piece at the BBC Proms concert in London and wrote that he would like to know more about it.
Well, I, for one, am always glad to have a reason to feature Janáček. And The Cunning Little Vixen is one of my very favourite pieces, so thank you, Mr. Kendall.
Yes, it's one of my favourites as well. We have featured it before, in fact, on Encore, and that was about 3 or 4 years ago when a rather wonderful new DVD was released, produced by the BBC, which was an animated version of the opera. It was conducted by Kent Nagano, a very well-known conductor, and the animation was by Jeff Dunbar, and it was, in fact, absolutely beautifully done. And another thing is that, interestingly, it might seem rather unsuitable to do opera as animation, but in fact, in terms of how this opera came about, it isn't, is it, Patricia?
No, it was actually inspired by a series of cartoons. The story goes that Janáček was trying to compose, and he was disturbed when his maid, who was in the next room, was laughing her head off. And so he went in to have a look at what was going on. And he found that she was looking at some cartoons in the newspaper about a half-tame, half-wild fox. And he got fascinated with the story, and which was so popular that it was eventually turned into a novel.
And it is an unusual opera. Most of the characters are animals. There's a frog, a badger, a dog, foxes, birds, and insects, a dragonfly, a cricket. And there are human characters as well, as the forester and the schoolteacher and various others. Near the beginning of the opera, the forester catches the vixen, That's when she's still just a cub, and takes her home rather rashly to make a pet out of her.
Then, of course, she's completely miserable there in the farmyard. And Janáček really does a wonderful job of portraying her feelings of unhappiness. So let's listen now to how he does this.
Very miserable vixen there. That was some of the first act interlude from Leoš Janáček's opera, The Cunning Little Vixen, performed on that recording by the Czech Philharmonic.
Unfortunately, the vixen does escape.
And after eating the chickens or biting their heads
chickens,
off.
Yes. And she goes on to get married and raise a litter of cubs, but we won't tell you the ending. I just want to point out that when he was writing this, Janáček had returned to his boyhood village, very beautiful little village to this day, Hukvaldi, and he made a habit of going into the woods to watch the foxes at play and to listen to the birds and the other animals in order to fire his musical imagination.
And there is a statue there where, according to legend, he sat and made his observations.
Indeed. Well, I'm sorry we'll have to move on now. Thank you, Mr. Kendall, for writing. We do like to hear from our listeners, so please do feel free to contact us. David, you can give them the details at the end of the show, I think.
Oh, will do. But for now, we have something entirely new. The first ever recording of both of Václav Jan Tomášek's piano concertos.
And recorded by our very own Prague Radio Symphony under Vladimír Válek with pianist Jan Simon. And you may remember from an earlier encore that Tomášek, who lived from 1774 until 1850, was perhaps the leading musical figure in Prague of his day. And these concertos were written when he was about 30 years old, and I think they show his great admiration of Mozart. So let's listen now to some of the third movement, which is a graceful rondo, from the Concerto in C Major, Opus 18.
Thank you.
That was our colleague, the pianist Jan Simon, and the Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra with the final movement of Václav Jan Tomášek's Piano Concerto in C major.
And Jan Simon is our colleague because he is not only a wonderful pianist, but he is the manager of the Prague Radio Symphony here. So that was a really lovely piece and lovely playing.
Well, and we have another disc of concertos today, cello concertos, this time by Josef Reicha.
Yes, this is a Supraphon reissue of a 1995 recording by cellist Mikhail Eriksson with the Czech Chamber Orchestra.
We've played Requiem by Antonín Reicha on an earlier show, I believe, and I think that he is a relation of Josef's, isn't he?
He sure is. Josef was his uncle. Josef lived from 1752 to 1795. He died just about when Tomášek was born, in fact, and he had a big influence on Antonín, who went on himself to be a very, very influential musician in Paris.
And like most Bohemian musicians of his time, he spent much of his career abroad, most notably in Bonn, and he was particularly well known as a cellist.
And he was praised by no less than Leopold Mozart in a letter to his son Wolfgang.
So let's close today with some of Josef Reicha's Concerto in A Major for Cello and Orchestra, Opus 4, Number 1. But first, thank you very much for joining us. And if you'd like to contact us, as we promised a little while ago, here's our address. You can write to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Or, of course, you can send us an email to english@radio.cz. And if, like Mr. Kendall, you have any requests, just please don't hesitate to contact us because we would love to play anything that you request. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan.
And me, Patricia Goodson.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.